Soil looks simple when you stand over it. Dark, quiet, steady. But the truth hits as soon as you start a homestead. Dirt can work for you or ruin you. It hides its problems until the season turns and your plants stall, yellow, or collapse. By then, it is too late. You lose time, money, and trust in your own ground. That pressure is real, and it never lets up. You start here because soil decides everything. You learn fast that you cannot guess texture, pH, or nutrients by eye. You test, read, and document each zone because one corner of your land can fight the rest. You face numbers that tell you what is wrong, and you deal with them before they turn into losses you cannot recover. Every fix has a cost. Every choice leaves a mark on the land. If you want soil that grows strong year after year, you need to build it with intent and discipline. The ground will only give back what you force into place. Chapter 1. Know your dirt, testing and reading the ground. You start with a simple goal. Find out what kind of soil you have before you trust it with seeds or money. You walk the land early in the morning when the air feels sharp and the ground still holds the night's moisture. You look at slope, shade, old plant debris, and spots where water pools after rain. None of this gives you answers, but it tells you where to dig. You need clean samples from different zones because no piece of ground stays the same across a property. You take a shovel and scrape the top inch of debris away. You dig 6 inches down and pull a small core of soil. You drop it into a clean bucket and move on. You do the same in the high spots, low spots, near the tree line, and along the areas where your boots usually sink after a storm. Each sample goes into the bucket for a blended test. You note how each zone looks and how it changes. You keep your record straight from the start because the soil will not forgive sloppy work. You reach the first test of the day, the squeeze test. Take a handful of moist soil and press. If it crumbles fast, the sand content is high. If it forms a tight ball that smears across your fingers, clay runs deep here. Loam holds its shape but breaks with pressure. This simple test shows you how the soil handles air and water. You do it in every zone. You write down each result. Nothing gets assumed. Next comes the jar test. You fill a clear jar halfway with soil, top it with water, shake it hard, and set it down. You watch the layers settle. Sand drops first, silt follows, clay takes the longest. The final stripes tell you the soil's true structure. It also reveals whether organic matter floats across the top in weak streaks or settles in dark flakes. The jar makes you honest. It shows what your soil is made of without guesswork. You check drainage. You dig a hole a foot deep and fill it with water. You wait for it to drain, then fill it again. You time the drop. Slow drainage means clay or compaction. Fast drainage means sand and low moisture retention. Both conditions turn gardens into problems if you do not fix them early. You write the numbers down. You match them to each zone. You kneel and study color. Dark soil usually means higher organic matter. Pale or gray soil hints at poor structure or old flooding. Red streaks show iron. You smell the soil. Healthy ground smells earthy and strong. Sour or rotten smells point to anaerobic pockets. You do not ignore any sign. Soil tells the truth when you read it with focus. Now you turn to the store-bought test kit. You run pH first. The color strip lands on a number that decides what amendments you will need next. Acidic soil locks up nutrients. Alkaline soil blocks others. You test nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Low nitrogen slows leaf growth. Low phosphorus weakens roots. Low potassium leaves plants soft and weak against heat or cold. These numbers shape everything you do in the next chapter. You finish the tests and look across the notes on your clipboard. You now see your soil's strengths and failures lined up in real numbers. You see compaction in one zone, too much sand in another, low nitrogen by the fence line, and pH drift in the garden bed left behind by the previous owner. Each problem carries weight. Fixing the wrong one first will cost you time and momentum. You end the day standing over the soil you tested. You now know what is broken. That knowledge pushes back at you because every weakness demands a choice. You need amendments, corrections, structure, and patience. But not yet. First, you face the question that came out of the numbers. If you miss even one critical issue, you will lose a full season. Chapter 2, Fix What's Broken, Amending with Intent, Not Fantasy. You return to the notes from your soil tests and break them into tasks. Each number demands a response. You start with pH because nothing else matters until the soil sits in the right range. You gear up with gloves, mask, and eye protection. Lime raises pH, sulfur drops it. Both materials work slowly, so you measure with care. You spread them in thin passes and water them in so the reaction starts deep in the soil. You do not rush this. Too much lime locks nutrients for years. Too much sulfur burns roots and poisons the ground. You stay patient because soil punishes heavy hands. Your next job is nitrogen. The test showed weak leaf growth potential in several zones. You choose aged manure or blood meal depending on how fast you need the boost. Manure works steady. Blood meal hits faster but demands caution because it can burn seedlings. You spread amendments across the zones that tested low. You fold them into the top layer of soil. You water lightly so microbes can start breaking the material into usable form. You keep your records tight because each correction changes the next one. You move to phosphorus. Low levels show weak root growth and slow early development. You reach for bone meal or rock phosphate. Bone meal releases slow and steady. Rock phosphate works best in acidic soils. You match the amendment to the ground you have. You spread a thin layer, not a pile. Too much phosphorus becomes a long-term problem that takes years to undo. You treat each handful like a decision that needs weight behind it. Potassium tells you how your soil handles stress. Low scores mean plants will fail under heat or cold. You fix this with greensand or wood ash. Greensand works gradually and feeds other minerals. Wood ash works fast but raises pH, so you only use it where the soil needs both potassium and a slight alkaline push. You choose carefully because one wrong move forces a chain reaction you cannot control. You shape the soil, but the soil pushes back with every adjustment. You shift your attention to structure. One zone failed the drainage test. Compaction stops roots from moving and blocks air. You take a digging fork and drive it into the soil. You rock it back gently to open channels without flipping the layers. This is controlled tilling. You only do it once because repeated tilling destroys structure and kills microbial life. You lift the soil just enough for air and water. You do not go deeper than needed. You never chase perfect. You chase workable. Another zone drained too fast, showing high sand content. You cannot change sand, but you can slow it down. You add compost to increase organic matter and water retention. You fold it into the top few inches. You lay a note that this zone will demand long-term feeding in the next chapter. Sand takes time to tame. You accept the slow grind. You check the area with heavy clay. The jar test showed thick clay bands that hold water and choke roots. You break the surface with the digging fork and add compost and coarse organic matter to loosen it. Clay responds to texture changes over months, not days. You make the adjustment and step back. You cannot force a fast fix here. You only set the groundwork. You deal with contamination risk next. You saw signs of old chemicals near the fence line. You do not dig deep or mix that soil into other zones. You isolate it, you cover it, and keep it separate from the growing beds. You plan to rebuild this zone as a long-term bed with organic matter later, because that is the safest path. You respect boundaries where safety is uncertain. Soil remembers everything. With amendments done, you test moisture again. You water lightly and watch how each zone responds. The soil shifts with every correction, and you take notes. Nothing happens instantly. You allow time for the ground to absorb the work you put in. The soil starts to settle into its new shape. You step back and look at the field. You corrected pH, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and structure zones. You broke compaction, slowed drainage, and opened air pockets. But the weight of the next step settles in. These fixes are only the start. They stabilize the soil, but they do not build long-term strength. Amendments solve the immediate problems, not the future ones. Chapter 3, Build Living Soil, The Long Game of Organic Matter. You return to the land a week after the amendments settle. The soil feels different under your boots, softer in some zones, steadier in others. But you know this isn't enough. Fixing numbers is one thing. Building soil that survives heat, drought, and pressure is another. This chapter is where the work turns slow and disciplined. You shift from repair to creation. You start with compost, not a store-bought bag, real compost that carries life. You build a pile with brown material like dry leaves and straw. You add green material like kitchen scraps and grass clippings. You balance the layers and watch the pile heat. You keep moisture steady, not soaked, not dry. You turn the pile when the core cools. This cycle builds the foundation of the soil you want. Compost feeds microbes. Microbes build structure. Structure holds water and nutrients. You stay with this process because shortcuts fail fast. Leaf mold becomes your next tool. You gather leaves and pack them into a shaded bin. You keep them damp and let time break them down. Leaf mold doesn't feed plants directly. It creates long-term texture that keeps the soil from collapsing in heavy rain or burning out in dry heat. You spread a thin layer across the zones that tested weak in organic matter. You fold it into the top few inches. This is your slow armor. Now you plan the long beds. You choose one section with stable pH and balanced nutrients from your earlier tests. You lay down compost, leaf mold, and a thin layer of aged wood chips. You do not till deep. You let worms do the work. You shape the bed for long-term structure. You water lightly to wake the microbes and settle the layers. This bed becomes the model for the rest of your land over time. You move to cover crops. These plants rebuild soil while they grow. You choose clover or vetch for nitrogen fixation. You choose rye or buckwheat for biomass and weed suppression. You seed the weak zones and watch them take root. When they mature, you cut them down and leave the material on the soil as mulch. This cycle feeds the ground without stripping it. Cover crops turn dead soil into living soil when done right. Mulch becomes your shield. You spread straw, wood chips, or dry leaves over the beds. Mulch protects moisture, controls temperature, and slows erosion. It gives worms cover and keeps microbes alive. You keep the layer thin enough for airflow, but thick enough to hold water. You replace it when it breaks down, because this cycle never ends. Mulch turns into organic matter slowly and steady. You check the moisture levels each week. The soil that once drained too fast now holds water longer. The clay zones loosen, the sandy zones stabilize. This change does not happen by accident. It comes from consistent feeding, careful layering, and respect for the pace at which soil changes. You measure progress with simple tests. You dig small holes and check for worm activity. You feel the soil crumble between your fingers. You watch roots spread deeper than they did in the first tests. You run a light pH check again, not for accuracy, just to confirm stability. Amendments from the last chapter continue to settle. The ground you corrected now works with the organic matter you added. You avoid heavy changes here. You only verify that the long-term plan stays on track. You set maintenance rules, add compost each season, refresh mulch, rotate cover crops, check for compaction after storms, manage water gently, never let the soil go hungry, never leave it bare. Every habit builds resilience, every cycle strengthens the structure. You stand in the field after months of work. The soil breathes now, it holds water, it drains steady, it feeds itself. It carries life where there was only texture before. You see the cost of every decision and the reward they create. Living soil is not built in a day. It is built through choices that stack year after year.